young for the Uncle Joe, me him later on, and he was one of the first to get saved, to meet Jesus. And then it was me mum and then a couple of others, but I didn't really understand it. But all I know is we've gone from being Church of England, now we're born again Christians, and it's more or less the same thing. And that's how I went on in life. I used to go to church, my dad got saved, and a few of the others, then we just got brought up in church. And I come to live my life really around church. And I'd go with, as a family, with mum and dad, because that's what they told us we had to do. And I used to go on the Sundays and wherever. But as I got older, I got married at the age of 18. And I seemed to miss the meetings and slip away. But anyone asks me, well, you put down on the paper what religion are you? I say, I'm Christian. And then as life goes on, you get the pressures of the world and the credit cards and bills and families around you and money and whatever else in the world hits you like a big bang. You shout all your life as a child and all of a sudden it hits you. And the pressures of the world come to me, and I used to come back and I used to drink quite a lot. And the drink, I found comfort in the drink because it used to drown my sorrows and stuff there. And I still used to go to church now and again, so it made me feel better. And then one day I was really inside as a broken man. On the outside everything looked okay. I was going to work and I never had much money, but I always had enough to get by and pay my bills and stuff. But me life on the outside looked good, but inside I was broken. I thought it's got to be more than life than what's happening with me. I had a family around me, everything. And I looked at my mum and looked at a few of the others and I thought, they've got something different than what I've ever had. You know, I believe in God. I had everything there. Everything was in like a dot to dot, but I never connected everything. And I knew deep down that I knew about Jesus, but I never truly met him. And one day in the bathroom, this is years on, I shut the door behind me because my wife thought I was a Christian anyway. I shut the door behind me and I truly repented. I asked Jesus into my life because the problem was my sin separated me from a perfect Jesus. And even though I was brought up in church, there's one thing my mum and dad couldn't do for me, which bridged that gap like Jesus did. And I come to a time of understanding where I got lost and I thought that because my dad's called Nelson, by the way, my mum's called Lemmy, because they were good churchgoers, that I come underneath this, I don't know, this kind of halo, I suppose, that I was automatically going to, because they were good Christians, I'm just going to go in with the flow anyway. But that moment that I asked Jesus into my life and I repented for my sins and I truly knew that I knew Jesus and he came into my life, it was like a weight lifted off my shoulders. And the drink, thank God he took the drink out of my life, and thank God that my wife now, she's born again. You know, sometimes my wife says, well, a lot of people say I'm a newborn Christian, or there's lots of words for it, but I call myself a Bible-believing Christian. Amen. That's what we are, you know. But if there's someone tonight, today here, you could be trapped in that kind of a thing like I was. You know, it's only two minutes to repent and truly ask the Lord into your life and to deal with your sins. And all what you've done and what you haven't done is washed away. And before, I believed in everything, but I found church boring. And I found it was, and the Bible, just sometimes I'd open it, it looked like a load of Chinese writing. It wouldn't make no sense to me. But now I open the Word of God, I'm encouraged. I want to know Jesus. I want to know where he walked. And I want to see where he's been. I've been to Israel. I find it exciting now. And I want to read the Word of God because I know it's alive. And that's what I want to encourage people today. Please, if you're feeling that how I was, you feel trapped and you're sailing through your Christianity and nothing's really happening, and you're just ticking all the boxes, maybe you need to deal with your sin truly and ask Jesus into your life properly.
Amen.
God bless.
Praise God. My name's Wayne Johnson. I come from England. And I first heard the gospel back in 1996. I was up living at a place called Banbury in Oxfordshire. And I was just a young fellow at the time, a young married man. I had one young son. And I was just getting on with my life. And I didn't know that I had a need for God. I just didn't give God a thought of what was just... My biggest concern in life was just getting on. I just wanted to go with as much money as I could and enjoy life as much as I could. And then one night, people come on to the site where I was living and they said, we're going to have a meeting, an outdoor meeting. And I was curious. I thought, I'll just go along and have a look and just see what this is all about, this Christianity. I've never been to a meeting in my life. As I said, I wasn't a church goer. I knew God was there, but I just didn't give God a thought. So I went to this meeting just to have a look. And I was smiling, I was laughing, and people was praising the Lord. And I was thinking, well, this seems a bit mad to me. You know, I can't see what's going on. People were saying to worship God. And I goes, oh, I can't believe this, but these people, gypsy people, travelling people are doing this. And then a man called John Clee preached the gospel. And he explained that I was a sinner. I knew that I'd done things wrong, I was the same as anybody else, but I didn't realise that my sin offended God. I didn't realise that my sin separated me from God. And that night, I...
Sorry.
Just going to mute
you there, guys. Don't forget to
mute. Sorry.
I was just listening.
It's all on.
I'm really sorry. Will you repeat that? Yeah, thank you. Will you just repeat that again there? What you just said?
And like I said, I went to the meeting and I didn't give God a thought. I didn't realise that I had a need for God. This man called John Cleese preached the gospel. And he explained to me that my sin had separated me from God. I didn't realise that my sin offended God. That it caused that separation between me and God. You know, and I realised at that time, at that point in my life, that if I'd have actually died there and then, that hell was where I was going. That my sin had to be paid for. And I didn't realise that Jesus, when he died on the cross there, he died for my sin. I didn't know this. I didn't understand it. I never heard it before. And that night I walked forward and I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into my life as my Lord and Saviour. And I met with God that night. I went to bed that night. I woke up the next morning. I was a changed person. I was a complete different person. I just want to give God the glory. As I said, that was 1986 and we're still going on today. Praise God.
Thank you for his little life for us. Hallelujah.
Hello.
seats for a moment.
Thank the Lord, you know, that we're here today. I thank the Lord that, you know, for a long time I've been coming to this country. Showed the brothers yesterday where I was 44 years ago and on the way to Muckross House. And it always gladdens my heart when I'm back here because I know, you know, the Lord is moving. And as our sister said earlier on, there's going to be a wonderful revival.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
There's going to be multitudes of people come to know the Lord. Amen. Yeah. And God's will be done.
Amen.
You know, I just want to share a little bit about myself while I'm doing that. If you've got your Bibles, turn to the 26th chapter of Matthew. I want to share this with you. I actually was to sing a song there, yeah. The last but one. Okay. And the significance of that is this. I want to share this little testimony with you, yeah. That he sang that song how long ago? 12, 15 years ago? Felix actually wrote that song. I know it was the testing of my faith. And in my life, in my Christian walk, in this walk what the Lord has given me, I've had some great tests. And you know, the Lord will tell you, the Lord will show you, the Lord will lead you and guide you by the power of His Holy Spirit. But I came to a stage once, I was on my knees and I was crying and I said, Lord, You will never give me no more than I can take. Please don't give me no more. And the reason I said that was this, that on my son's wedding day, he got shot. And he looked like losing his life. It was a half a millimetre from his main artery. But through God's grace, through His mercy, he lived. And he trained himself up to run the marathon and raise money for an orphanage we were building in Romania at the time. Yeah, and I thank God for that. A little while after he got shot, I had a girl that got stabbed. And she was in intensive care. And it was only a little while, you know, after Joe got shot. And I said, Lord, please. Very short while after that, I had a girl that was... to be honest, had a very bad marriage and got beat and you know, her husband was on drugs and etc, etc. Anyway, she ended up getting into this fight and she went to Crown Court and the judge sentenced her, first time ever in trouble in her life, to 5 years in prison and she had 3 kids. So I was on my knees and I said, Lord, don't give me no more than I can take. I said, how much more, Lord? Time went on and I had 4 heart attacks. I was dead 3 times, flatlined. 1 time for 8 minutes. Yeah, and the paramedics brought me back. I had 2 cancers cut out of me. Yeah. Had a blood clot, give me an hour to live. Had a stroke. And at the very last illness I had, now I don't think it'll be the last, but the last one I had then, okay. I got septicemia. And then septus in the blood. And my body looked like a Chinese road map where the poison came out of me. And I was in intensive care in St. Peter's Hospital in Chertsey near London. And I was laid there. My wife had told the children, probably this time he won't be coming home. And I was very sick. And I had wires and pipes coming out of me. And I was laid in bed one morning, and this coloured gentleman with a white coat and shirt and tie come to the bed. And I just looked at him, and I never had much strength left in my body, and I said, what are you here for, sir? I thought it was a doctor. And he said, I've come to make your bed. And I thought to myself, you're dressed very fine now to make my bed, you know? And I said, is that right? And he was singing a song. If you saw the movie Sister Act, he was here, you know, oh, happy day when Jesus walked. And he washed my sins away. Yeah. And I said to him, I said, do you know many Christian songs? He said, only the spiritual ones. Yeah. And I got my phone with all the might I could and I put that song on the Felix's son. And he wrote, I know it was a test of my faith. And within 2 words, and it was years before I heard Felix sing this song and I hadn't heard it since. Yeah. And this coloured gentleman sang that song all the way through. And
And I started to cry because just before that, just before he came to my bed, and I prayed and I said, Lord, if you're going to take me. But just give me a sign, one way or the other. Yeah. And I put a song on that we have a brother in Christ back home called Nino Lee. And I put the song on. And then this colored gentleman I've never met before sung that song all the way through. And he said, I won't be long. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to get a bowl. I said, what would you want a bowl for? He said, I'm going to wash your feet. And I started to cry. I thought, my God, how real are you?
Well, no.
I said, you don't need to wash my feet.
Hallelujah.
I said, God has sent you. I said, I thank God for you. I knew then I was coming out. And 2 days later, I walked out of the hospital. And that is the power of God. It was a testing of my faith. And listen, I've had a lot. I've been through a lot. Yeah. But God has never left me.
Amen.
And I thought to myself, you know, Lord, how much can a man take? And the Lord put me into this scripture. I'm going to share with you this day. Yeah. In the book of Matthew. Yes. In the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay. And we're going to look at it. And we're going to ask the Lord for his help in a minute. To go through it, yeah. 26 and 36, yeah. Sorry, I've got some small print here. Sorry. 26:36. It says, then Jesus came with them to the place called Gethsemane. And he told his disciples, sit here while I go and pray. And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee with him and began to be grieved and very distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. In other words, you can't get no lower. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little way beyond them and, you know, he fell on his face and he prayed saying, my Father, if it is possible, if there's any other way, let this cup, this circumstance, pass from me. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we ask and pray in the wonderful, mighty name of Christ Jesus, the name above all names. Father, that you this morning, Lord, my Father God, would touch hearts, that the Holy Spirit would do his work, Lord. My Father God, in people's lives. Lord, this is that, not about man or anything man can do. That not by might, not by power, Lord, but by your Spirit, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would help us this day, that you would speak with us, that you would strengthen us, my Father God, and that you, Lord, and you alone would have the praise and the glory and the honor you're due, Lord, because only you, Lord, are worthy, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, Jesus coming here, very, very coming, you know, to the point where he knows he's going to go to the cross. Okay? He knows exactly what the circumstance, what the situation is. He knows what he has to go through. And Jesus is here with his disciples. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible says he's anguished, he's distressed, he's under pressure. And many times I've looked at this, Brother Felix, and I thought to myself, you know, was it the beating of the calf of nine tails that he knew he had to go through? That every time they hit him with this whip that was made of leather and bone and pulled it away, that layers of flesh would come off of Jesus' body? Was it the pain of that? Was it the blood that would be coming out of him? Was it that he knew they'd rip the beard out of his face? Was it that he knew, you know, this cup? Take this cup, the situation, the circumstances from me. If there's any other way, Lord, let your will be done. Wasn't that he knew he was going to be humiliated, that he had to go through a great shame, that he'd be stripped naked, you know, that soldiers would draw lots for his clothes, that he'd be hit with a rod. Wasn't that he was going to be put in such a place where they would make a crown of thorns and ram it into his skull? He knew everything that was going to happen. He was fully man and fully God. He knew the pain and the heartache and everything that he had to go through. And this is him in the garden. And he's foreseeing what is going to happen. He's asking the Father, if there's any other way, take it away from me. But not my will, but your will be done. And I've looked and I've tried to understand. He was sent through the greatest love of all, the word mercy. That God bankrupt heaven to send his son onto this earth to take your place and mine. That whatever pain and whatever heartache and whatever situation we go through in life, Jesus has already been there.
Amen.
He suffered that for us.
Yes.
And the Bible says, you know, that this place where he's in, this garden, this place that he's chose to go and pray, this place where, you know, he's asked the disciples to keep watch, he's going to be an hour. This place where he's on his knees, where he's sweating drops of blood, where he's so anguished, where he's so, you know, uptight within himself because he knows what he had to go through. One of the hardest times I ever went through, you know, when my son was sat right next to me and a man running on a balaclava and shot him. And then come round the front of the table and put the gun like that there and I pushed the table and I tried to get to him because my grandkids and everybody was behind me. Yes, I was prepared to die for my own children. Yeah? But God had a different plan. That he turned around and ran at the door, yeah? But it was a horrible, anguished, painful, heavy time to turn around and see, you know, your oldest son shot and bleeding. Didn't know why, never had a clue why. My son, the brothers will tell you, he's very, very liked back home. Yeah, everybody likes him. Matter of fact, his greatest ambition in his life is cooking. He loves cooking. Everybody watches him cook. Yeah? He's a great cook. But I've got to stand and I've got to watch him bleed. The ambulance wouldn't come. I'm running up and down on the phone. I said, where is this ambulance? My son's dying. Where is the ambulance? And then the guy on the end of the phone said to me, he can't come. They will not come until an armed response unit is there first. In London, they've got to be there before an ambulance can turn up because of health and safety. So I've got to watch my son now. Is he going to die? What's going to happen to him? We pick him up and we take him and we put him in a car and we take him to the hospital. All the time, I'm thinking to myself, is he going to live until we get to the hospital? What are we doing? We're praying. We're on our knees. We're crying. Lord, please help us. Yeah. As we get to the hospital, we get in the car. There's a guy walking with a case. And he stops and looks, and he said, what's happened to him? I said, he's been shot. He said, well, it's your fortunate evening this evening. I said, why is that? He said, I'm the main surgeon. He said, hallelujah. He said, for Great Western Hospital, he said, for gunshot wounds. He said, I was just down here doing an operation. So he turned himself around, he went back in, and I thank God that it was that man that God put in place at that time, yeah, to help Joe. And his friends and everybody else was looking at him. I said, why are you laughing? He said, because I know if I die, where I'm going. That's a wonderful thing that my son was following the Lord. Yeah. But it was a different anguish. It was a different pain. It was a different heartache that Jesus had to go through. It wasn't the beating. It wasn't the stripping naked. You know, it wasn't hanging on that cross. It wasn't the blood that was flowing for him. It wasn't the people shouting and mocking him. He knew for the first time in his life he had to be separated from the Father. That was the pain. That's why Jesus was sweating drops of blood. He didn't want the separation from the Father. You know, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, the 59th chapter, that our sins and our iniquities have separated us from a loving God. Even so much so, he's chosen not to hear us. That's what our sin does to us. You see, I didn't want to be separated from my son. Jesus didn't want to be separated from the Father. And I want to tell you, because he loved you so much, he fulfilled God's plan in his life. This is what he said, Father, not my will be done, but yours. And it was the Father's will that Jesus Christ, yeah, went through that anguish, pain. He went through the beating. He went through the terrible mocking, yeah. He carried that cross until he couldn't carry it no more. Until the man from Solrini picked it up and carried it the rest of the way for him. The Bible says that there's an old, you know, that was already dug there at Golgotha, the place of skull, Calvary. And they nailed Jesus to it. And they lifted the cross up and dropped it in the oven. Put the nails through his wrist and through his ankles.
And that's where Jesus hung. But there were some different events that was taking place. The Bible says that, you know, Jesus Christ took our sins upon him. That God chose to turn his back upon his own son because he loved you so much. That's great love, isn't it? The Bible says that the world went dark. That place went dark. It went black. The light was took out of that day. There was a darkness. The Bible says that there was an earthquake. And there is a wonderful significance of this wonderful earthquake. Probably the best earthquake we will ever hear about in our lives. Because this earthquake caused the saints' tombs to be split open. And the saints to raise, the Bible says, from death to life. This earthquake caused the temple curtain to be torn from one top to the bottom. As a sign that we can enter into the Holy of Holies. No more did we have to go to a priest. No more did we have to share our problems with a man. That we could walk in and be with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings.
Amen.
Because of what Christ done. Amen. Because God sent Christ to go for this horrible time that he had. No more do we have to say, would you pray for this for me? Would you pray for that for me? That Jesus Christ then on that cross, the Bible says, yeah, in this darkest hour, said, my God, why are you so far from me? Why have you deserted me? And I want you to think about this very, very logically. If God did that to his own son because Jesus took our sin upon him, why are we so great that we think before we're washed in the blood, Holy Ghost filled, before we're saved, before we have the relationship with the Lord of Lords, that fellowship, why did we ever think that we was good enough to make it on our own? I don't need God. I'm fine the way I was. I said that for 5 years when people were telling me about the love of Christ. I'm okay. I believe in God. I believe in God my way. If the kids was ill, we'd pray. If I was waiting for a check to be cashed, I'd pray. Yeah. If I needed a puncher repaired, yeah. I'd get the spare out of the boot. If it was raining, I'd get my coat out of the wardrobe. Yeah. And that's the way we use God, isn't it? You know, until the time that God's mercy, that God's grace came upon us and he pulled the scales off our eyes. And that darkness then became light. Because Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Bible says that they took Jesus off of that cross. And just before that very, very moment in time, that the very man, the Roman centurion, the Roman that was in charge of the crucifixions. The Romans, you know, this Roman man that had seen many, many crucifixions. That he would tell, you know, his men what to do. Dig the old ear, make the cross out of this, get them nails. This man's going to be crucified today because he's a murderer, he's a robber, or whatever. He'd done it many, many times before. But this particular time, he looked up at the cross and he said, surely. This is the Son of God. This is the Son of God. That Roman soldier that day saw the difference between him and everybody else that he crucified. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was the words of Jesus. And the Bible says, you know, when Jesus came down and they put him in the tomb and there he lay for 3 days. Until Jesus done in, you know, the business of the Lord, where he sent him spiritually. Yeah. And on the third day, as the two Marys was walking towards the tomb, and they looked, and they saw, you know, this rock rolled back, and an angel sat there. He said, don't worry. He is risen. He's alive.
Amen.
That's the difference between the religion and the truth. No more do we serve a crucifix. No more, you know, do we serve a man. But the temple curtain is torn from top to bottom. that whoever accepts Jesus as our Lord and their Saviour can enter into the Holy of Holies. Amen. And have fellowship with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Amen. Behold, I stand at the door, the Bible says, and I knock.
Yes.
And the handle's on your side this day. Mm. And he says, he who opens the door, I will dine with him and him with me. Yeah, now, he ain't talking about having a lobster or a steak.
Yeah.
It's a fellowship. The one-on-one we can have with God and God alone.
Amen.
That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Amen. That a sinner such as me, through God's grace, the unmerited favour, that I can enter into the throne room of grace and I can talk to God just like I can talk to any one of you in this wonderful church today. And I can have fellowship with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Why? Because my God is not dead. He is alive and he sits at the right hand of the Father. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. The gentleman, yeah, at 11 years old, was took for a ride on the ship with his dad. God had a plan. And his dad was in the Merchant Navy. And he just sailed across the seas. Until one day, he started going with somebody else on a different ship. And that ship was a slave ship. Yeah. And all of a sudden, this young man, before he was 23 years of age, had his own ship. And he was buying and selling people. Sometimes through storms so severe, he would have to tie himself down on the deck of the ship. But God had a plan. And he took ill. And he came back and he started to study the word of God. He started to get closer and closer to God. This man got saved. Yeah. And he became a minister. And he wrote the song, Amazing Grace, that saved a wretch like me.
Amen.
A man that bought and sold people. Yeah. This young man ended up being one of the main people that formed an alliance with the government to stop slave trading. Mm. That is the plan of God.
Yes.
And I want to tell you something this morning, church. For each and every individual here, God has a plan for your life. Mm. When my wife and myself didn't think I was going to walk out of the hospital, yeah? God gave us a son. I knew it was a testing of my faith. You see, it was God's plan that we'd be here today. I just wanted to come to church today. I wanted to hear the word of God today. Yeah? But I thank God we got the opportunity for a brother Felix to lead the meeting, for me to share the love of Christ with you. But remember this. I'm going to give you a little thought and I'm going to wrap it up here. That if we're right and we don't know God and Jesus isn't our Lord and Saviour, we have to say that this Holy Bible is wrong. If we're right in the way we think and we're not saved, we have to say that God himself made a mistake by sending his son, Christ Jesus, to go through that anguish, to go through that pain, to go through that heartache, to take the beating, to take the crown of thorns, to be nailed to a cross. What father would make that type of mistake? I know it wasn't a mistake. Because I know my God is real.
Amen.
And I know he lives.
Amen.
And you know what it is? This body of mine is his temple. God's home away from home. Amen. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Amen.
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 Let's pray, amen. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we ask and pray in the wonderful, mighty name of Christ Jesus. Father, that you, Lord, my Father God, will speak by your Spirit, Lord, to the hearts of many, my Father. I pray and I ask, my Father God, that you, Lord, my Father God, would just start, Lord, to move, Lord, my Father God, in this place, right now, that our hearts will be clear and true with you, my Father. Lord, that you, Lord, my Father God, will go beyond every person that's here. I would ask and I would pray, my Father God, Lord, that we'd have truthful spiritual hearts unto you today, that you, Lord, would speak. And you would set the captive free, Lord. And that you would have your will in your way, my Father, Lord. Good and pleasing and perfect as it is here on earth, Lord, as it will be in heaven.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
God bless you all. Yeah?
this place, again, I've got the freedom of this mic this morning because I don't know everybody here, so I can't offend nobody. But if you're in this place this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and this morning you act upon that, as we worship the Lord, you want to come forward. You've never made that decision, but maybe you've been playing games with God. Maybe you thought you were saved. But now you've come to the realization that you need Jesus this morning. I'd like you to come forward. I'm going to join the prayer with you this morning. That's you. Let us all just close our eyes this morning. If you know the words of the song, you can stay seated this morning. Just worship the Lord from your seat this morning. If you know the words that help me this morning. But more importantly, if God spoke to you, then you act upon that word today.
We fall down. Is at the feet.
infiltrated by the devil, because our brain is the devil's playground, if you have it, yeah? All right? Now, if we look at young King David, he was trained, he fought the lion, he fought the bear before he came against Goliath. God always prepares a way, okay? But I believe the Lord would have me say this morning, that you are not alone.
Amen.
That Jesus is with you, yeah? And whatever you're going through, it's for a person in there. I know that because God has asked me to share this. Yeah. Whatever you're going through, God will say to you today, you are not alone.
Amen.
Yeah. And he will give you the strength. And just as he did with David, you know, he will give you the strength. And he will lead you and guide you through whatever circumstance or situation you are going through. Yes. Because we have the strength in Christ, not in ourselves. You know, my son got shot by a stalker of his wife's. Because the guy fancied his wife and he couldn't have her, he shot my son. Yeah? Right? And it was a fearful time. I was in a Chinese restaurant with most of the church at the time, and some special branch officers came to the restaurant. He said, listen, there's been a hit put out on your life. You're going to get killed. So we're going to take you away. We're going to change your address. We're going to change your name. Yeah? And you will have to go and hide for the rest of your life. Because you most probably will be killed. I said, and I laughed. He said, why are you laughing? I said, well, listen, if I go from Skip Arena, I said, to Dunkirk. I said, if I go from Miami, I said, to Toronto. I said, from Land's End to John O'Groats. Everybody knows this face. I said, we're not going to run from the church. Amen. And we're definitely not going to run from God. Amen. I said, but thank you very much. He said, you'll not take this seriously. I said, I'm taking it very seriously. I said, and so is the God that I serve.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm still here. Amen. Praise the Lord. For the one that's going through that fear, you know, let God handle it. Amen.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen. I'll sing us one more worship song before we finish. This song is called How Great Are You, Lord.
Amen, amen, amen.
I need the brothers at the back to stand up and help me sing this song.
I didn't have to sing.
It's a song that it's part of our worship.
Amen, amen.
We sing it a lot in our church because it has a meaning, especially to me and to our people this morning. How great are you, Lord? How great is your mercy?
Great are you, Lord.
How great are you, Lord, my Lord, my Lord.
God's good enough.